Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Shake off the rust. It's what? It's a new year. Amen. Amen. The first service of a new year. And you know how you can always look at a new year? You know what the stats are. You know what the stats are. There's a lot of people that don't make it. They don't make it to the age that every single person is from, the age you've gotten to. That's a blessing from the Lord. Lord, thank you for you've allowed us to see, what, a new year. You've allowed us more opportunities to witness to what? Your glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this new year. Amen? Amen. Amen. New year with what? More word that we get to receive. More word that we get to understand. And more word that we get to give to our fellow people. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for another year. Hallelujah. Another year. Hallelujah. And it's interesting because what? We go through the holiday season. We know Christmas and gifts and all the other stuff. And all the good stuff, and as you get older, and now you're giving more gifts than you're getting. But it's just so good to think about how the Lord has kept us. Amen. How the Lord has kept your family. How something 2 or 3 years ago that you were on your floor crying about. Are you crying right now? Or did he bring you through? As you look at a new year, you look at the new things. Hallelujah. Think about the stuff that was holding you back before that the Lord has what? He's cut that away as he's working on us. That's why we every single week, thank you, Lord Jesus. Every single week, hallelujah, every year. Because all that stuff that was back then that you were worried about, that you were in fear, that you were doubting, that you were wondering, that bill you didn't know how you were going to pay, right? Either money came through or whatever was there you no longer have. And guess what? Now that you've lost it for a while, I'm all right, right? I thought I needed that. But now that I've gone a couple years and looked back, I didn't really need that. Or what? God gave me something else because I needed what he was going to give me. Not what I thought I needed. So as you go through each year, a new year, it's a renewing, it's a fresh year that we can look forward, but also go, man, as I look back at what he brought me through, if I look back 1 year or 10 years, hallelujah. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for the transformation. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let us all be, what, joyous this morning, amen? Amen, hallelujah. Communion Sunday, the fast is ending, we got a good word, we got some good singing, we got everything that's going to happen this morning, amen? Amen, amen, shake it off, hallelujah. 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 Now, this is Communion Sunday. I'm going to ask that those of you that are at home, get your stuff prepared. We're going to start in a minute. But before we start, I got to have a sister come up and sing for us. I got to have a sister Reed come up and sing for us. Amen? Amen. What? Singing and praising unto the Lord just changes the atmosphere, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Welcome the Lord into this house this day. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know that it is the blood. Hallelujah. That the Lord sacrificed for us. That saved us from our sins. He is a redeemer. And because of his sacrifice, we are healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. the blood that Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh yeah, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose his power. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears, and it wipes away all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose his power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh yeah, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh yeah, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose his power. It reaches to the highest mountain, oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose his power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the blood. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Power.
Yeah.
Never lose its power.
Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. So we're going to start the communion part of our service. We got to understand what? It's the blood. What gives us strength from day to day? It's the blood that what? Never loses its power. That's why we can celebrate. And this we do in remembrance of Christ Jesus. The blood that he shed that never loses its power. So that whatever you were worried about, the blood has power over it. Right? Whatever you're wondering, whatever you're worried, whatever you're concerned, Jesus, he's in control. Amen? Amen. Amen. For those of you who are watching online, for the items that you have prayed over and set aside for communion, please have them ready. For those, I'm glad there's many people in here today. And as what we have been brought through this COVID crisis, we expect many more to come out. Amen. Because that is yet another thing that if you look back 2 or 3 years ago, everybody was wondering what's going to happen. And you could look at a full house now and see what? The Lord brought us through. Why? Because the blood never loses its power. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. With that, we are going to start the communion portion of our service. We are going to have our deaconess, Shanita Scott, who's going to read our scriptures coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Then we're going to have our deaconess, Courtney Scott, who's going to lead us in our confession of faith. And finally, our deacon, Tyrone Davis, is going to be praying over the sacraments. Amen?
Amen.
And then after that, you will hear from what? Our leader. Amen? The man that God has put in place to deliver the word unto us this day. Amen? Amen. Amen. Shall we all stand for the reading of God's word?
Good morning, church. I will be reading from 1 Corinthians 11, 18 through 34. He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment onto themselves. That is why many among us are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Good morning, church. Please repeat after me.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Good morning, church. I just ask everyone to bow their heads as we pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, may your body, which we have received, be ever close to our hearts, Father God. May your blood, which we have received, keep us free from sin, Lord God. Father God, as we take communion, we do it in praise and worship of your name. You are forever faithful, and your love is steadfast, Lord God. Enable us this morning to stay faithful to you as you are faithful to us. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. Amen. Good morning and God bless you. What a wonderful joy to celebrate the first Sunday of another new year. These days, these weeks, and the years, they're not promised to us. There's no guarantee stamped on them. But we realize it is of the Lord's mercy, it's of the Lord's goodness, that he has preserved us, he's kept us. I remember growing up in church, I used to hear the older folks say, from both dangers seen and unseen. Isn't that something amazing to think about, that there's stuff happening all around us, but God keeps us. Whether we're aware of it, not aware of it, knew it was happening, didn't know it was happening, but God knew it was happening. Realize we still had a purpose in his plan to fulfill. And so he kept us. There are only two ordinances or sacraments in the Lord's church. One is being baptism. It's in our custom we celebrate during the summer, all the new candidates for water baptism. And then the other is communion, or what some refer to as the Lord's Supper. In our church tradition, we celebrate it every first Sunday. Some churches celebrate it every Sunday, some once a quarter, whatever that particular rhythm is. But one of the great challenges, this is my opinion, shall I say, one of the great challenges with communion is because we do it with some level of frequency, there is a tendency or a temptation for communion to become common. And it's the worst thing that could ever happen. To allow our remembrance of his suffering and his death for our sins to become a common
thing. And by common, I simply mean you don't treat it as special. Just whatever. But when we come together as for communion, to have this specific memory replayed and relived in our mind and in our consciousness, so that we never forget. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget. When things become common, we forget about them. They're not important. They're not significant. We do, we do. If we don't, we don't. It's not a big deal. Communion, church, is a big deal. It's a big deal. That's why we go through all this extra. Why? Because it's not common. And so as we start off the new year, let us start with that in mind. Lord, help me this year not to take communion and let it become common. Let me always hold the sacredness, the holiness, the importance of that occasion front and center in my mind so that I can live in a way that honor and pleases you. Amen. If you have your sacraments, I ask you to take out that wafer. As you take it out, I am going to ask you to lift it up to the Lord. As was read in our hearing, the night that he was betrayed, it said he took bread. As was his custom, he blessed it and broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body. This is what I'm giving for you for your sins. John the Baptist saw him coming and said, what? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Shall we eat together? Next, he took the cup of wine, our grape juice. He lifted it up that it might draw attention to it from his disciples. He said, this represents the new agreement, the new covenant between you and God. Established, set in motion, and ratified by my own blood. Right? How many know a contract's no good unless it's signed? It's just words on a paper. But it's not till you put the signature to it, you sign it. And Christ signed the new covenant in his own blood so that it would last throughout all eternity. He told his disciples, drink ye all of it, and I say the same to you. Thank you. Father in heaven, we thank you for this privilege that we have to gather again around the Lord's table, to fellowship one with another, to fellowship with you, your Son, and your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for answering the Son's prayer. He said, Father, make them one, even as you and I are one. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you for the oneness that you bring in us and establish through us. Though we being many, yet we are one body in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the unity of faith. Thank you for the oneness of spirit. Thank you that one day soon, we'll finally put down this old body and we'll put on new bodies. Bodies like that which your Son, the Lord Jesus, now possesses in heaven and in your presence. We will no longer be separated by sin. We will no longer be encased in carnal flesh. But our entire being will be one with you, holy and acceptable in thy sight. And so we take communion with that hope, with that confidence that one day, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed and made like you. So keep us against that day. Help us to never lose hope or faith in the promise of your word. Give us the anticipation of heart to look forward to your coming again. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Again, good morning and God bless you. Thank God for all of those coming in out of the vestibule. You may be seated. First, I want to thank everyone, both here in the sanctuary, those joining us online. Thank you for your participation in the fast on this past week. Thank you for your willingness to participate. I believe that the fast has been a blessing to all of us, as it has allowed us to start our new year drawing closer to Christ Jesus. So again, thank you for your participation throughout the week and even on this morning. We look forward to our fellowship, dinner or lunch, after the service. Thank God for all of you who participated in bringing something, for the communion feast today as well. Thank you for that. And then also want to thank you, for those that were out this morning for the corporate prayer at 8:30 this morning. I know some had challenges due to the weather, but thank God for those who pressed their way and seizing me, the aroma in the sanctuary this morning with prayer and worship. Amen. In preaching, there are two types of sermons that are difficult to preach. Two types of sermons that are difficult to preach. One type of sermon that is difficult to preach is a sermon from an unfamiliar portion of Scripture, an unfamiliar book of the Bible, an unfamiliar text. I say, okay, let's open your Bibles this morning. Let's go to the book of Obadiah. Many of you would say Obahuba. Who is that? Where is that? And many of you would be saved because you now have an electronic Bible, because if you were to have a hard copy Bible, you'd be flipping and I'd be at the end of the sermon. You'd still be flipping. Why? Because it's an unfamiliar book. Let's do a sermon out of the book of Zephaniah. Not where is that? Is that in the New Testament or the Old Testament? So it becomes a hard sermon to preach, simply because as a preacher, you would spend the majority of your time trying to get your people to Obadiah. And I don't mean literally just by finding it, but you got to explain who Obadiah is, when he lived, who did he preach to, the northern kingdom, the southern, who was his contemporaries, right? Was his message related to what Jeremiah was also preaching? You know, so you got to spend all of that time before you even get down to what he actually said. So it becomes difficult to preach. And as a result, many preachers shy away from. You know what I mean? And so really, and I say that to say that the blame, if there is any to be cast, really falls at the feet of the preacher, because in spite of those challenges, it doesn't absolve or allow us as preachers to avoid those texts. You need to preach them. The Bible said, eat the whole roll. Got to eat the whole thing. Got to be all 66 books are available and edible for our well-being, our spiritual well-being. So as preachers, in spite of that, we still got to preach them. We still got to go to the minor prophets, the major prophets, and we got to preach through those things. But yet and still, difficult to preach, and that's one of the reasons why. The other type of sermon that is difficult to preach is the at the other end of the spectrum. Sermons that are from familiar texts, texts that everybody knows, right? I stand here and say, open your Bible to the Gospel of St. John. Let's go to the third chapter, verse 16. Nobody would even turn there. Why? Because everybody knows it. That's John 3:16. John 3:16 is so popular, you don't even have to be a Christian or a believer to know it. The world knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the challenge with preaching familiar texts is that there is a temptation or a tendency for the congregation to check out. It is the equivalent of telling a joke that everybody knows. So what happens when you tell a joke everybody knows? No one laughs, but because as the joke teller, you never get to the punchline because what? Everybody knows it. Soon as you say, what happened to the, I know the chicken crawled. They take it out of your hand. Why? Because it's so familiar. And when you preach a text that is so familiar, what can sometimes happen, the congregation can say, I know this already. I don't have to listen. How many times, there's only so many ways you can preach John 3:16. You know what I mean? It is what it is. So when you hear it again, it's like, oh, okay, I got this. I know this one. You follow what I'm saying? And so there could be that temptation of like, oh, I don't have to pay attention as well. So, and that's with any familiar subject. I got it. I know it. But the unique thing about the Word of God that I found, and hopefully you're finding it in your Bible study, is that as you study and go through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has a unique way that as you re-engage a familiar text, he has a way of giving you another angle of vision to see something this time that you didn't see the last time. That's the a unique ability of the Holy Spirit, and that helps us to understand why the Word of God tells us that His Word is alive. It's alive, and I'm telling you, if you go back to a text that you have been through before, and entrust the Holy Spirit, invite Him into your time, I guarantee He'll show you another angle of vision. People always ask, "How in the world, as a preacher?" At some point in your preaching, you got to be done preaching. You will have preached it all. How these guys been pastoring 40, 50 years? They have to have preached through the Bible multiple times. How can you preach it over again? And they say the same thing. When I went to preach it, I saw something I didn't see the last time. He gave me a new angle of vision. He opened up something in my spirit that he didn't do last time. I say, oh, my God. And those preachers, we asked ourselves, how did I miss that? Not that you missed it, you just didn't. Not that you didn't see, he didn't allow you to see it. But now that you've lived longer and you've engaged with him and walked with him first, now all of that, when you go back the next time around, you see something you didn't see the time before. So okay, Paz, good, got it. Why are you saying that? Because communion is such a rehearsed service in many religions, that it is engaged in with some level of frequency. And like I said, some churches celebrate communion every Sunday. That's what they do. Some once a month, once a quarter, some biannually. But there is some frequency to it. And so this particular passage that Paul writes to the church at Corinth falls into the category that is hard to preach. Hard to preach because it is one we hear all the time. Right? The same night on which the Lord was betrayed, he took bread. Right? Blessed him. And so we just hear it over and over again. So there can be the temptation, as I said before, to check out on communion because I got it. I know it. I hear it. Bread, blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're down the road. So I'm saying all that because as I was coming into the new year, Lord, what shall I preach? I began to feel challenged. I said, preach on communion. Preach about communion. And so, I was drawn to this text. I said, okay, yeah, this is a text we always read. And so, in thinking about it, I said, one thing I want to do, as I encourage all of you to do in your Bible study, is what? Slow down. Familiar texts, we have a tendency to what? Read quick. Why? Because we know it. I don't need to waste a whole lot of time. For I know what it said. I get, I'm down through it. But no, we got to slow down. And so in an attempt to slow down and in an attempt to get you upstairs to eat as soon as you can, because I know there'll be a mob breakout if I went long, I decided to take this preaching on communion and I'm going to divvy it up over 3 Sundays, right? And so one, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? One, we're going to celebrate communion for the next 2 Sundays. This Sunday, we have communion. Next Sunday, we have communion. Third Sunday. And on each Sunday, I'm going to be preaching about communion. Okay? So instead of trying to fit it all in one sermon, I said, hey, let's take our time with it and let's take it piece by piece. And in so doing, hopefully we can grasp or consider the gravity or the gravitas of the Lord's Supper and what it means to us. Is that fair enough? Okay. Everybody good with that? We have communion 3 Sundays in a row. Is that okay? Good, good. Okay, great. So, and how we're going to do it, we're going to do it this way. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to work our way through there. But I'm going to preach it in this manner. Today, I want to talk about our conduct at communion. That's what I'm going to talk about today. Our conduct at communion. Next Sunday, I want to talk about our consecration for communion. Today, our conduct at communion. Next Sunday, our consecration for communion. And then third and lastly, I'm going to talk about the consequences of communion. Is that fair? Our conduct, our consecration, and yes, believe it or not, the consequences of communion. Okay? So there you go. You're all up to speed on where we are and where we're going. Today, we're going to look at a portion of scripture that's not often read during our communion service. It's 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 17. So I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. The New Testament is 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 17. Anyone is in need of Bibles? We do have church Bibles. If you need a Bible, just slip your hand up in the air. We'll get one over to you. But we're going to be in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. But we're going to start at verse 17 and just read a few verses there. And we're going to add to the witness out of the book of Philippians, the 2nd chapter. And if you have those, I am going to invite you to stand with me that we might read them out of the Word of God. I'm going to invite you to follow along. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Again, 1 Corinthians 11:17. Amen. Paul says, "Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this?" Paul says, "I do not praise you." Amen. Philippians, the second chapter. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ and any comfort of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." Verse 3, this ties it together. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others." Amen. This next couple minutes, I want to talk about our conduct at communion. Holy Spirit, help us to conduct ourselves, not only in the communion service, but before, during, and after, in a manner that exemplifies the light and love of our Savior. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Paul says, "Now, in giving you these instructions," and again, he's referring to instructions about communion or the Lord's Supper, he says, "I do not praise you." He said, "I don't praise you, one, because I got to give you these instructions again." Right? I've already gone over this. Seems like by now you would have had it. Like, okay, we got it. But he says, because of what I'm hearing, I got to go back over old ground. He said, "Now, in giving these instructions," and he starts right up front and he says, "I do not praise you." He's saying, "I'm quite upset. Not only am I upset because I'm giving it again, but I'm upset because you are violating it again." So here we are. He says in another place in his writings, Paul says, "By now, I thought you would have been ready for meat, but I find myself having to give you the milk of the word, the easy parts. I thought by now you would have grown up some, developed some, matured some," right? He said, "But you haven't, so I'm going back." And so this is what he says. He says, "When you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse." Paul says, "I'm writing this because when you guys come together for fellowship, specifically for communion, people are not leaving better, they're leaving worse. Woe be unto us if when we come together, one of us or any of us leaves worse than when we came. For if that happens, we have all failed to live by the Spirit of Christ. When we come together for fellowship, we should all leave some way, somehow, better than when we came. Are you with me on that? Are you in agreement? That's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I'm upset in writing this because I hear when you come together, it's not for the betterment. People are not leaving better. They're actually leaving feeling worse. Have you ever gone home from church feeling worse than when you came? That should never be the case. And we all have a responsibility to play in fulfilling that. Because all of us give something or add something to the body of Christ. Are you with me in this? Say, well, Pastor, when I come, I don't do nothing. I'm not in the ministry. I just sit, hang out, say blah blah blah, and I'm out. Listen to this. Your being here oftentimes encourages someone else, and you never know it. Them seeing you blesses them. Most people don't think of it that way. But your presence, what you bring, not what you do, what you bring. Because when you come, you bring the Spirit of Christ that is alive and living inside of you. He says this in the Word of God. He said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And I know we equate that to the triumphant entry, but you got to live. Blessed is he that cometh in the name. It does not say, blessed is he that doeth in the name of the Lord. He is saying, I'm blessed just to see. Do you know any people in your life you smile when you see them walk in? They haven't said nothing. They haven't done, they haven't brought you any. They just walk through the door and a big old grin breaks out on your face. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's how it should be for the believer. That our presence, right? Because we have spent time with him. They say of the disciples in Acts, they could tell that these men had been with Jesus. That's the record. They said they could tell that these men had been with something about him was now reflecting out of them. Such that the people said, yeah, these guys, they've been with Jesus. They talk like him. They sound like him. They remind them of him. Right? When we come together as a church, we should become better, not worse. If we don't do anything else in this coming year, let us hold to that principle. To not allow anyone to leave our company feeling worse than when they came. Can we do that? Can we make a commitment to that? not just on communion, but whenever we come together, let's just make it our aim individually to make sure everyone goes home better than when they came. And it's not, I'm not asking a lot. I'm going to challenge you. The first thing you have to do in order to ensure people go home better, the first thing, and this is the challenge, you have to come. Are you with me this Sunday? I'm going to challenge your thinking. We rob each other when we choose not to fellowship. It's a challenge because we don't think of it that way. Well, I'm not going to go today because, and whatever the reason is, it's valid to you because you don't come. But have you thought about the others? That someone could be blessed by just seeing me there. And what I'm trying to get you to understand that as a church, in order for us to have proper conduct at communion, you have to come and fellowship. Because you bring a light, you bring a love, you bring an element of God that without you is absent in the room. Right? So I'm not asking you to get here and do something. This is why the word of God says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Something happens when the people of God come together. The word of God says the body of Christ is built up and strengthened, get this, by what every joint supplies. Imagine waking up in the morning and your knee decides not to work today. Your whole body's thrown out of whack. Why? Because that, not both knees, but just that knee, it gives something to your overall balance and stability such that when it is not functioning or participating, the whole body is now what? All messed up, right? Paul said the first report I got is that after you guys come together, there are people going home worse and not better. That's our first challenge in the new year. Again, not just for communion, but whenever we fellowship, fight to come. And I use that word specifically. Because the enemy knows that there is power in the unity of God's people, he is always out to separate us any way he can. And we fall victim to his attack. And this is what happens. It's subtle, right? Because we say this, it's only me. What is my not being there going to do to the whole ship getting down the road? It's going to do a lot. Because someone there could have been made better by you. Not by the preacher, not by the singer, not by any other thing. Just seeing you there so many times is a help. I can't count how many times I've been to hospitals and never said a word. Sister Keisha and I went to see Mother Rooks one day in the hospital. She could not talk. So consequently, we didn't do a lot of talking. Nurse said she was so glad you guys. How do you know? She didn't say nothing. She said, we could just tell you're being here. Her face lit up. Her countenance changed. Didn't say nothing. Just had a word of prayer at the end. And after a while, wasn't nothing fancy. But that's what the presence of the people of God can do. Right? And you got to know that's in you. That when you come, your presence changes the environment and the atmosphere where you are. You guys with me on that? If you got it, say, I got it. Here it is, verse 18. First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. Paul said, in part, I believe it. As a church, we must strive for unity and not settle for division. Okay? Here's the conduct at communion. And that is what we got out of the Philippian writer. We got to all be of the same mind. Same mind, same spirit. We all got to have the same thinking in our subconscious. That our presence matters in the house of God. Right? Because if we are not on, as some folks would say today, on the same page, it opens the door for the enemy to come in and plant the seed of division. Okay? Anything you want to do with anyone else, you can never do it if you guys not on the same page. It won't work. No matter what it is. If you guys are not on the same page, moving in the same direction, you follow what I'm saying? It is not going to work. And that's the way it is in the body of Christ. This is the mystery of the Trinity. How can they all three be God, but yet be one? Because they're on the same page. Jesus said, I only speak what I hear my Father speak. I don't come up with my own agenda. I don't go my own direction. I only do that which I have seen my Father do. He's done it up in heaven. I do it on earth. We stay on the same page. Right? And Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, prays this. He says, Father, make them one. Even as you and I. He said, this is the secret sauce. This is it. This is how you get to heaven. By being one. Right? Paul said, you guys are coming together for communion. And instead of honoring the celebration, you guys are dishonoring the celebration. Why? Because all I hear is of division in the church. Okay? Are you with me on this? Now, I'm going to throw something out there for your consideration. Some people like division and chaos. Let the church say. Some people just like it. They thrive on it. That's their oxygen. The crazier the situation is, the more alive they feel. Right? Those people exist in the church and outside of the church as well. Paul says this in his writings later. He says, they went out from among us to prove that they were never really with us. Because had they been with us, then surely they would have continued with us. Right? When there's unity, where there's peace, where there's harmony, right? Cooperation, moving in the same direction. Those who enjoy chaos and division soon will walk out the door. You've heard me say this once, if not 1,000 times. It is not your job nor my job to kick anybody out of the church. Not your job. Not my job. Our job is to live as a, anytime you read about church discipline in the Bible, it is never to kick them out so that they can stay out. It is always to separate them so that they can see the error of their ways, repent, and what? Come back into the fellowship. Right? That's all. That's church discipline. That's how it's working. It's never, oh, you did it, you're out, and you out for all. No, you're not. He said, if we just confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins. Right? And what? Bring us right back into the fellowship and keep on getting down the road. Why? Because now there's unity. We're oneness. Are you with me in this? So the proper conduct for communion is that we have to work to be on the same page. And we have to avoid division. Here's something. This is in the Word of God. The Word of God says this. He says, agree with your adversary quickly. Isn't that a strange thing to say? They're your adversary. So what? That means they're against you. But yet he says, agree with them. And not just agree. He said, agree with them quickly. Get on their page as fast as you can. That don't even make sense to me. Why? Now, but as you go down the road, you understand. It's because they don't want agreement. They love division and chaos. They don't even like it when you agree with them. What kind of foolishness is this? And I'm telling you, if you work for unity wherever you are, those that strive on disunity and chaos and division, they'll walk themselves out the door. You don't have to run them out. You don't have to push them out. Just stay in agreement. And when they begin to realize they can't stir something up or stir somebody up, they soon what? They walk themselves out the door. But we have to be what? We've got to stay connected. We've got to stay in harmony. First with one another and then also collectively with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Because if we stay as one, right, that becomes our weapon against disunity. It's not trying to correct them or fix them or this or that or the other. No, just stay together. You'll make it. And as you make it, they'll walk themselves out the door. Are you with me? 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, Paul said, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's households, that there are contentions among you. Right? Because of the love of God. Now, what was the guy who said, why can't we all get along? Rodney King. His sentiment is correct, but his theology is wrong. We can't all get along because of sin. That's just the reality of it. The theology of we can't just all get along. But you can get along with those who are what? Of a like mind. So as believers, we can achieve harmony and unity because what? We're of the same mind. We believe what? The same thing. Right? And as such, we can have unity. So we must strive for unity and not settle for division. 19. And Paul said, I believe it because there are factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. At the end of, at the bottom of it all is the letter I. Anytime there's division, anytime there's separation, contentions, no matter what it is, here it is. And tell me if you know it. It says this. The Bible says what? Pride goeth where? No matter when you, if you just get to the bottom, I guarantee you, it's pride. That's what the contention is about. That's what the disagreement is about. Have you ever argued long enough to eventually get to the point you forgot what you were arguing about? Anybody ever had that? And it causes, at least for me, I speak for myself, it causes me to realize that whatever we were arguing about was not the issue. The issue was, and always will be, I wanted to win. That's all I wanted. And for whatever reason, you're not letting me win. And so I put it behind this argument that says, this is the reason I, it's not that. You just didn't have the courage just to say, I want it my way. At least we could have argued over the truth, right? But now we're arguing about this, that, the other. It's not this, that, or the other. Because for some reason, my pride is standing up. And I want it my way. But how many of us are glad that Christ never went to the Burger King in Jerusalem? Right? The Burger King in Jerusalem is same as the Burger King in Potts Grove and Philly and Fayetteville. It's the same thing. Burger King is all, say everyone, what? Burger King, you get to have it, what? However, we're going to make this burger the way you want it. So many people live by that slogan. Jesus Christ said it this way. He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Then I put my pride down. What I want in this moment, what I want in this hour, we'll work it out next Sunday. One of the things about this communion you got to get when we read it, the text says, the same night that he was being betrayed, he took bread. We skip over it because most of us, when we get betrayed, we don't know about it. The betrayal is made known later. Oh man, they were talking behind my back. I didn't even know it. Judas was betraying Jesus, and Jesus knew it. He said, look, guys, if you really want to know, it's the same one that dips in the cup with me. Imagine you got to be betrayed to appreciate. If you haven't been betrayed, you can't sense the gravity. But while he was being betrayed, the Bible said he took bread. He was dying for humanity while humanity was betraying him. You follow what I'm saying? So good, good. There it is. Here it is. So the whole thing is now because you want to be recognized. I hear there are factions because those who are approved may be recognized among you. At the end of the day, it's all about pride. Pride goes before fall. Pride is the leading cause of division and contention. So what is our conduct at communion? Our conduct at communion is to strive, listen, for unity through humility. That's the only way unity works. For you and I to get together, one of us, hopefully both of us, gotta be willing to take the low road. If not, it won't work. You won't get there, right? We've got one of us, hopefully both of us, must be willing to humble ourselves. Paul says, for in eating, one takes his own supper ahead of each other. Now, you don't need Paul for this. You all got grandmothers and big mamas, right? What did all of our mothers and grandmothers and great, what is the first thing they teach you about the kitchen? When you get in there and it come time to eat, you got to wait for who? Got to wait for everybody. Don't you dare stick your hand in that pot. Wait for your dad to get to the table. Wait for the guests to come. Anybody ever grow up in a house where the preacher came? Hated it. Why? Nobody can eat till the bishop gets there. And I mean, our ribs are showing. Like, yo! And the food is there. The juice is there. And we waiting for the bishop. Can we get a snack while we wait on the bishop? I mean, we'll eat. But what? Paul said the love feast and the communion, it had gotten so out of hand that people were just eating whenever they felt like it. No waiting. No patience. No concern about others. He said, not only that, either takes his own before ahead of others. You have some that have eaten and are full, and others who are hungry because they brought for their families. So those who had resources brought a lot for their families, but those that did not were not able to bring and therefore had nothing to eat. And those that had would not share. This is what he's writing about. This is what's happening at church among the people of God. Right? Now you can see why there's a sharpness to Paul's right. Paul's saying this is not the way it should be. We should be preparing for the day when we all eat together in God's kingdom. Are you with me? He said, one takes his own supper ahead of others. There are other people at the table who are hungry because they did not have anything to eat or not enough to eat. And then he said, there are others who are drunk because they drank wine. Drinking wine is not a sin, but what makes anything a sin is what? Excess. Too much. Over in, doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't have to be wine. But when you over in, you do too much. The Bible said this is a sin to you. Why? Because you know it's too much. And now you open yourself up to gluttony. Right? He said, now you got folks at a church dinner drunk. Why? Because they went too far. Are you with me? Paul said what? He said, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Paul said, I don't have a problem with you doing it, but don't do it in the fellowship. Go home. When you go home, you eat what you want, when you want, how you want. But when we come together, what does it say? And what we read it every time we have communion. Verse 33. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, what? Wait for one another. That's out of the word of God. Well, like I said, we don't even need Paul. If you got good upbringing, you should know that, right? But here, Paul said, I'm having to write because you're not willing to do that. And as a result, people are going home. Hurt. People are going home not being made better, but they're going home feeling worse. Are you following what I'm saying? Paul says, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? And Paul says, I do not praise you. This is what can happen when communion becomes common. That's what happens. And I'm so glad that this is included in the canon for our benefit, so that what we can be on the lookout for it and prepare against it. So that one, we never allow communion to become common. That we always fight and strive for unity and avoid division. Right? The Philippian writer says this, and we're done with it. He said, if there's any consolation in Christ, any love, fellowship of the Spirit, any affection or mercy, Paul said, fulfill my joy. He said, the one thing that would make me the happiest is that you be like-minded, having same love, and being of one accord and of one mind. Here it is, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. It wasn't that some people had ample supply of food for their family. It wasn't that they had enough that was again. The problem was they had excess and they were using it to show off. If you don't get anything out of this message, get this. The coming year, resist the temptation to show off. Just let the Lord bless you. I've learned something. If the Lord really blesses you, you don't have to tell nobody. The blessing of the Lord is obvious. You don't have to put it up on a billboard. You don't have to put it on your Facebook page. People will look at you and say, these people have been with the Lord. I can see it all in them. You follow what I'm saying? They had it, but they were using it to show off. Paul said, you got to resist that temptation. That's the pride that goes before a what? A fall. Here it is. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. It reads easy, but it's not easy. To constantly work to esteem others better than yourself. That's why we need the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why this is not a self-help tech talk or TED talk or a coaching set. No, no. Everything I'm asking you, you got to look at it like, man, I got to pray tonight. Some of you need to pray right now, Lord Jesus, right in the middle of the sermon. Help, right? Because the only way you're going to do it is going to help with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to always esteem others better than yourself. What? So it goes on your prayer list, right? Lowly them better than themselves. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Unity through humility is the proper attitude and conduct for communion. I'll say it again. Christ said in his high priestly prayer, he said, Father, make them one. Of all the stuff he could have asked his Father for, he could have asked, Lord, don't let them die. He could have said, Father, don't let them suffer the way I'm going to suffer. Could have prayed to bless their families. Father, bless this family. These men have given up everything to walk and follow with me. Could have prayed to bless their business. He didn't. Could have prayed for their families. He didn't. He could have prayed for the churches they were going to start, but he didn't pray for that. Of all the things that he could pray for, the one thing he did pray for was unity through humility. Why? Because it's the proper conduct for communion. Does that work for you? So now we got our work cut out for us going forward. And every time we come around the communion table, it should be a reminder. This do in remembrance of me. Remember, he kept himself united with the Father. By what? By humbling himself. He told them when he was under attack in the garden, he said, look, guys, I could. I could, because I have the authority, call a legion of angels. I could. I have that kind of authority. But I'm not. Why? Because I am going to humble myself under the Father's will. This is the Father's will for me. It's not the will for myself. And because I humble myself, then me and my Father can stay what? One. We're one. Because we're one going in. We'll be one going through. And we'll be one when we come out. Unity through humility. Shall we all stand? Let our goal and aim this year, 2024, to not let communion become common. Just something we do. No, it was something special that was done for us. So we ought to treat it as such. Treat it with the importance and the gravitas that it deserves. Let it always be a reminder to us of what Christ did on our behalf. Offered up his own body, sacrificed his own blood, so that you and I could become one with him, even as he is one with the Father. We've got our work cut out for us in the coming year, but I believe that the Lord is with us. And I pray that the level of unity that we experience in our fellowship, my prayer is that it overflow. Let it fall over into the unity in your house, the unity in your family, the unity in your marriage, the unity with your children, the unity in your neighborhood, in your community. Just let it overflow. Say, I'm learning how to become one with Jesus. And it's overflowing in every area of my life. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. Lord, we thank you so much for the communion service. We thank you for the opportunity and privilege we have to come around the Lord's table. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for being so kind and so merciful unto us. Lord, we thank you. We bless you and we praise your name. We thank you for the sacraments that you've given to us, the sacred ordinances, water baptism, and Holy Communion. Help us to never allow them to become commonplace in our lives, but help us to strive for the unity and the oneness displayed by you, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Allow us to be one with each other and one with Godhead as well. Till that great day. No longer separated by sinful flesh. No longer will we look through a glass darkly, but finally we'll see through the glass clearly and we'll see you as you are. So this is our prayer, our hope, the longing of our soul. Satisfy us with the meat and the refreshing of the word and water of God. This we ask in Jesus' name. Everyone say amen. 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 Before I go, anyone in need of prayer? Before we go, anyone in need of prayer, you may come at this time. I want to give an opportunity at the beginning of the new year. Whatever your need may be, whatever situation you may be facing, you don't have to face it alone. Why? Because we're one. We're one unity through humility. As they come to the altars, where the ministers come, one on this side, one on that side. The word says, when we weep, we all weep. When we suffer, we all suffer. Whatever your cause, whatever you may be facing going into the new year. None of us are going into the new year happy and glad about everything. We're all facing challenges, all dealing with issues. Whatever it is, come. that we might join with you in prayer, that we might join with you and put our faith with your faith. The Bible said if we just touch and agree, that's the difference. There's that unity all over again. Starting the new year out, if there's anyone here that desires prayer, you may come now. Anyone, challenges ahead, situations awaiting them in the coming days and weeks, come. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. Come. Come and know that you're not alone, but know we're standing with you. You're my brother. You're my sister. We're in this together. Yeah, we're going to stand with you. We're going to pray for you. I'm going to put my faith on the line for you. Dedicate my prayer time for you, your cause, your issue, that the Lord bless you. I'm going to esteem you higher than I esteem myself. Wherever you are, whatever your needs may be, the altar of the Lord is open. That you might come and find help in your hour of need. Lord, I need thee. Lord, I need you more now in the year ahead than I needed you in the year gone by. Lord, give me a church, give me a Christian family, that when I encounter them, I leave better than when I came. God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That rock is Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, lead me to the rock. Christ is the rock. Christ is our help. Very present in our time of trouble. Come get the help you need. Come get the prayer you need. Come touch. Come agree. Come and know that you're connected. Father, thank you that I'm not alone. Good God, help me. Thank you that I'm not alone. Thank you that I don't have to stand by myself, for myself. Thank you that I don't have to bear it by myself. But you said even when my mother and father would forsake me, you promised you would take me up. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel your presence right now. I feel help from the Holy Ghost right now. Yes, send my house. Jesus said, my Father's house should be a house of prayer for all nations. There's help here. The church house is a help house. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through. Pastor, I need help. Pastor, this is what I'm dealing with. Pastor, this is what I'm going through. Pastor, here's the letter. I just got it in the mail this week. I need help. I need someone to stand with me. I need someone to encourage me. I'm all out of courage. I'm all out of strength. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know which way I'm going to go. Thank God for the communion table. Thank God that I can come into the house and know that I will leave better than the way I came. Your power is here. Your grace, your mercy is here. And it's available for me. It's available for me. It's available for my family. It's available for my situation. Here am I, Lord. I need your help. I need your strength. I don't know what others are going through. But Lord, you know what I'm going through. You know what I'm facing. You know what I'm dealing with. And if you don't help me, I won't make it. I won't come out the other side. Reach out to him, church. He's available for you. He's available for your family. He's available for your situation. Invite him in. Say, Lord, I need you to come in.
I need to start the new year with you. I need to start the new year in covenant and in fellowship with you. You said, draw nigh unto God. In so doing, he would draw nigh unto us. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the refreshing waters of the Spirit. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Yeah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dark days ahead. Hallelujah. The Lord's going to bring me out. Hallelujah. He's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you out somehow, some kind of way. He's promised. He is your shepherd. He's promised you'll never want for anything. Said, I shall. He supplieth all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I shall never want, nor be alone or forsaken. Why, the Lord is my shepherd. Leads me beside still waters. Bring me into green passages. That's what your God has promised to do for you. For you. For you. For you. He's promised. He's promised. He's promised. He's promised. He's promised to do it. He's promised to do it. He's promised to do it. He's promised. He's promised. He's promised to do it. He's promised to do it. He's promised to do it. And he will do it. Not many days hence. Not many days hence. He's going to do it for you. He's going to do it for you. He's going to do it. 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 Yes. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Yes. Yeah, let God do it. The coming year, let God do it. Yes, he'll do it. 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 He's promised. And his promises are sure. Yeah, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, and we praise you. Yeah, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Yes. Yes. Yeah, renew his strength. Even now, God, let him run and not be weary. Let him walk in that faith. Yes. Holy Spirit, strengthen him. Even now. Yes. Fresh oil. Lord, that's what we need. Fresh oil. Anoint us afresh. Anew. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, thank you for him, Lord. Thank you for his life. Yes, thank you for what he's been through. Hallelujah, God. Thank you for what you're taking him through even now. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Thank God. Thank God for him. Hallelujah. Thank God for his family. Yes, thank God. All over the church, let's put our hands together and just thank God. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for the people of God. How we bless your name. You may be seated all over the church. If there's anyone here today that has not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, why not start the new year
with him. Before I leave the pulpit, I want to give that opportunity to you. Whether here in our sanctuary, if you're upstairs in the overflow, for those joining us online, no better time than today. The Word of God says it like this. He says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And it's so amazing how powerfully God can speak. A lot of people think it's based on the power or the voice of the preacher. No. The prophet said he came in a still, small voice. The earth shook. That wasn't it. Mountains roared. That wasn't it. But lo and behold, a still, small voice came. And it was the voice of the Lord. If the Lord is speaking to you, will you come? The opportunity is yours today to give your life to Christ. That your life would be safe from sin. Be given a place in eternity, eternal rest with God. We look for you to join the kingdom of God and become a son and daughter of the Most High God. So we thank you and we praise you at this time. We're going to give our service to the hands of Deacon Mature. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. 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 So, real quick, and our drummer had to go, so I'll do it. Offering time. Amen. Amen. It's the best I can get. You get the tongue drum roll. Amen. 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 So I'm going to go through a couple things for how we're going to do offering, and then I will bring up our deaconess, Kiriton, and she will give us our announcements, and we will wrap up. Amen. Amen. As far as offering, you can give through several ways. Amen. Amen. You can do it here. You can do it at the website. You can do Venmo. You can do Cash App. You can do the post office. Amen. Amen. All these ways. We got what? Postal workers throughout the church, right? 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 They'll tell you. If I don't tell you the right thing, they'll tell you. Amen. Amen. Now, first, we can give by text message. Text the code Taylor 61, T-A-Y-L-O-R 61, to the phone number 73256. And you'll receive instructions through a link so that you may give. Amen? You can give through our website. Please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions there. You can give by U.S. mail. You can send a check or money order, not cash. Check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. You can do it by Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. Cash App, $ Taylor Tabernacle. Now, or you can do it my way, which is if you are here in the sanctuary, over by the window, we have a box for the speaker's offering, another offering box for our tithes and our offerings, and if you would just place it in an envelope and place it in that box on your way out. Amen? Amen? Amen. All those ways to give, right? Amen. And now we get to hear from our Deaconess Kiriton. Amen?
Amen.
What do we need? Say thank you. Okay.
Good morning, church. I just wanted to say thank you so much for your generosity in collecting the hygiene items for my students. Your support has made a meaningful difference in my students' lives. Just being able to focus better on their education other than things that they cannot control is just a small token, and I just really appreciate the abundance and generosity that everybody has given. Thank you.
And I second that motion. Your generosity, not only for the hygiene closet, your generosity for the Angel Tree recipients, the generosity for the miracle on 26th Street. What a great season of giving that we've had here at the Taylor Tabernacle. So God bless you for that. We're going to give this benediction, but after this, we're going to head upstairs. Everyone's invited. Want everyone to be up, participate. They're preparing up there for us. So hopefully within a couple minutes, we can all be up there. We'll bless the food, and then we'll sit down and eat together. Amen. Father God, we thank you for the privilege that we've had today to fellowship with you, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you that as we leave this place, we leave better than when we came. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we are connected one to another. Be with us in our time of fellowship. Let the spirit of love and of mercy be in abundance and cause our fellowship to be rich by which each and every joint supplies. So this is our prayer. We thank you for it. Thank you that we're starting the new year with you and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Bless you. Keep you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Taylor.